I don't want to see it again.
But it's Sammy. It's our Sammy.
No, it's not. It's not him.
Of course it is. That's the real him. Not what those awful television stations keep playing. This
no,
is
not.
Him.
It's not.
Well, it was him until they changed him. They made him into
no,
that.
No. It happened. It happened way before he got to college. I don't know how, but we did it. We messed him up. We didn't give him any hope or, we didn't exactly show him how to be happy.
How can you say that?
He wasn't well. He was depressed and irrational and angry.
Well, everyone gets depressed and angry, but that's still no explanation. We don't know why he did what he did. And I seem to be the only one that cares about asking why.
You keep asking why because you're looking for someone to tell us that we're not responsible.
What kind of magic is this? How come I can't help adore you? But you were in a musical.
I didn't mind it at all. At my musical, and I was always there.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Doc.
And I'm wearing the wrong glasses. That's really why.
Yeah.
No, it makes sense. It's too low.
No, it's going to hurt the side of my ears.
Yeah.
I'm a delicate flow.
Right.
Who you gonna call?
The optometrist.
And on that note, Damian.
Hi.
A very important event occurred.
Yes.
This week gone by.
Definitely.
Uh-huh. And by this, what I'm talking about is you watched a Super Bowl for the very first time in your life after laughing at me for at least like 15 years.
Easily 20 years. I love it.
Every time I ask, David, have you seen the Super Bowl?
Football, sure, yeah. They use their foot, right?
Sometimes.
And the ball?
For a small portion of the time, they use their feet.
I will admit, okay.
Smug. So I get the witch.
Smug bastard. In fairness, all of America told me to watch the NFL. I chose not to because I look like a stupid sport. And it took me a lot of Googling to get a okayish handle on the sport. But then I felt better because at the end of the Super Bowl, Andrew had to Google what happens in overtime. He Googled and got it wrong. I went, I don't feel it bad anymore. Turns out this sport is stupid.
To be fair to Andrew, they have changed the rules since we were watching it regularly.
Yeah.
So it used to just effectively be golden goal.
Uh-huh.
Now apparently there's a whole system.
It's still golden goal.
No,
fuck them.
No. There's golden goal asterisk is what it is.
Yeah. This conversation here is exactly what I didn't have when I was watching the matches. I didn't have people that I could argue with when the rules didn't make sense.
Yeah.
I just had to accept them, move on. There's a lot of jargon that no one explains. Just no one cares. They're like, you either love football or go fondle yourself. But I watched the Super Bowl, and it was probably the best Super Bowl of all time. My sister blamed me for the Falcons losing, and everyone else should probably blame me for the Falcons losing. Because she said the Patriots' chance of coming back and winning that game was the same chance that I would ever watch the NFL. So I watched the NFL, the Patriots won.
Excellent.
Sadly, my the only thing I used to care about the NFL for was the ads. Every year after the football was over, I'd go on, jump on YouTube and watch these ads and find the one that I enjoyed the most. Unfortunately,
like 84 Lumber.
Unfortunately, this year I was interested in the football, and so the ads annoyed me, and I haven't gone back to look at any of them, because they serve only as a distraction for the football. Apparently, Lady Gaga's performance was incredible. The three of us sat there. I certainly don't remember if she performed. I knew there was a halftime show, and some jackass turned up the TV, but then we started talking, and then the football started again.
Yeah.
And Douglas said, "I've seen enough of this." I drank some coffee and went to his bed.
That sounds like a great sequence of events. Right. Fuck this. Drink coffee. Go to sleep. Right.
Like a man. Coffee doesn't affect me. Yeah. Not anymore. But I really enjoyed it. Now, Patriots fans don't care what anyone says. And Atlanta fans and the rest of the world, I apologize for what I'm about to say. But I think Tom Brady might just be the better. He might just be better at football.
So, do you know how old Tom Brady is?
I know, he's 39.
He's 39.
Yeah. I think he just might be better at football.
That's special.
Well, I mean, it was the same with Brett Favre. He went till he was like, 40
something. Yeah.
I know we all hate him. I also hate Tom Brady. I've watched it for one season. I know I hate him. But he still seems really good at
football. I actually don't hate him. And you know why?
Because he's good
because
at football.
I watch sports. And most other things, actually. The way I think God intended. Mm-hmm. I watch the thing I want to watch. And then the rest of the pony and dog show can go fuck off. Right? This whole, oh, look who is the asshole and who has 20 children and who does this and that and the other. And I know that's the argument that you were giving about why people hate Tom Brady. But I try not to pay attention to that at all.
One matter?
What about one matter?
Arjen Robben, Jose Mourinho.
What?
Those are just words. It means nothing to Chelsea fans. Nothing at all. They don't despise all of those people.
He just said, I watch the sport and leave the dog and pony show.
No, the pony and dog show.
Pony and dog show.
Yes.
Our apologies.
Let it go and fuck itself. Yeah. Right. But the minute that Costa breathes negativity into the football match.
Going to China.
Chelsea fans.
This mother.
Well, hold on. What are you trying to say though, Andrew? Because I don't want to say. I mean,
the amount of anger you throw at some of those people.
I don't throw any anger at Mata.
Right. The rest of them, sure.
No,
but not
hold
one.
On. Actually, first of all, I definitely don't care about Arjen Robben because he essentially left the first year that I was watching it, so I didn't have any.
You do
connection.
Hate Mourinho deep down in your soul.
Mourinho, Mourinho is special because he went to another side.
Right.
And usually, I don't care about that, but there was something about him, something just innate about him. And I think it would be, it's the whole argument of the exception proving the rule. Mm-hmm. But even then, it's not, I wasn't really, what I was talking about was like the extra stuff.
Yeah.
So clearly, it's hard not to see the extra stuff with people like Mourinho, people like, say, a Kanye West, you know, where it's just thrown in your face. And there is no way that you can hide under a rock and not see. But, for instance, Tom Brady, especially because I'm sure that is also, but I've pulled
but
back from NFL.
No, and you also live here.
Yeah, that too.
If you lived in the States where it is literally the religion, it is like football is the sport. And so, like, people see a lot of Tom Brady and they despise him and his smug face and his blazing hot wife. But most of all, his smug face. And, like, it's easy for us because we don't care. We don't actually care about any of the teams there. But I still saw just game
after
game.
When I was young, I used to just hop from... I remember there was a time when I was the biggest Cowboy fan,
mm-hmm.
and then I was the biggest 49ers fan,
right?
And then I was the it just kept moving around mm-hmm. depending on who was good at the time.
Right.
You remember that year that you were a Rams fan?
Was I a Rams fan ever?
They won a Super Bowl that year.
Oh, you know who I was a fan of at one point as well? The Colts.
I mean, yeah.
So,
from my 1 year of history with NFL, I know that Cleveland has never been good.
Oh,
and will
yeah.
never be good.
Ever.
So, you are never a Browns fan.
Yeah. The Bears are in that category, except they did get good for a half a second.
Right. But yeah, I look forward to the next season, especially if the Seahawks draft poorly.
Ooh.
Oh, jeez.
I used to like the Seahawks at Ooh. One stage, too.
Gotta hate the Seahawks.
For good reason.
Yeah. Legit reasons.
But
legit.
But this is a movie podcast, so we're going to cut all of the NFL.
That's true. Right,
and talk about Remember the Titans.
No, I thought we were going to talk about the upcoming LG and HTC releases.
Oh, right. This is a movie. Right. So you watch movies on your phone.
Exactly.
Right? So we need to talk about phones. Right.
Proceed. I will wait. I edit this.
I love it. He's just like, yeah, exactly. I've already put in my clap point.
Here is a clap. What we should do is just keep clapping. And just keep spying. Damn it, Douglas. I have to bring Sean Paul into this. Spoke about this years ago. He's not allowed in this house.
So this week,
yes,
Damien has asked us to go back uh-huh. in our minds to the year 2009, mm-hmm. when none of us knew what a Denis Villeneuve was.
Right.
He never was Academy nominated. He didn't make revenge movies. He just made weird French-Canadian films and did a movie by the name of Polytechnique, mm-hmm. which it was the dramatization mm-hmm. of the 1989 Montreal Massacre.
Right.
Séparez-vous. Les filles à gauche, les gars à droite. Séparez-vous! Les gars à droite, les filles à gauche!
Damien,
hi.
You came to this
mm-hmm.
so fascinated by Villeneuve over his last five or so movies
right.
that we now know him for. And now you want to dive into the backlog. How did you come out of this?
I wanted to see just how good he is. And it turns out we should just stick to the movies that we've seen so far. Don't venture past there.
So what you're saying is the ones that are popular
are popular for a reason. Yeah.
Okay.
So don't go to the Canadian films.
Yeah, you can skip all of that. Rewatch Enemy.
Don't do it. Don't say it because I love that movie. Though I've only watched it once.
I don't know. I had to go watch a YouTube video to explain what the F.
I still don't understand what F, but that's half the reason why I love it.
Yeah, and I think that is what got me the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I just saw, but why?
Yeah.
And then once I rewatched it and had someone give a explanation that seemed to make sense, I went, you know what I preferred? Straightforward. I'd have preferred if you told a story that made some kind of sense.
I should watch that movie again.
You should. But I came to this movie before going to his even earlier releases. And do not watch February the 32nd and do not watch Maelstrom. Those two movies are bad. They're just straight up bad movies. There's no point. Don't do that to yourself. Find better movies to watch. This is the movie that I look at and went, at least I see where the talent was. Like, he clearly could have gone on to do better things and did. The first two movies, you saw none of it. You know, someone handed this fool a camera and said, make movies, and that is what he did. This movie, though, the reason I chose this one, and I chose this one before watching it, was because out of the three movies that I hadn't seen from him, this was the only story that I had heard of, because last year there was a lot of mass shootings in America, and a lot of people did a lot of research into other countries and how they handled guns and whatnot, and both Australia and Canada had tragedies happen, and then went, you people clearly are not fit for gun ownership.
Canada doesn't allow gun ownership.
I mean, you have to live out in the boonies and need a gun.
Yeah, kind of Australia and the UK are just super.
You can't just roll up and go, sell me a big gun. You're going straight to prison. No, you cannot have one. And this was one of the events, and an earlier event. Both these happened within a relatively close time period, and the government went, you people don't deserve firearms.
You know what I'd love to know about that decision with the government is, so it wouldn't be as simple to just say, all right, we're not selling them anymore. They would have to actually recall them to a certain effect from the populace. I want to know how they went about doing that and getting it done correctly.
I mean, at a certain, if you don't continue selling guns, like the ones
it will definitely
have,
go down, but
they probably uploaded a virus and they all exploded.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Nanomachines. Metal.
Is it because you had a Mac, it didn't affect you?
Yeah. And I had a cold at the time, you know. Right, that's how I got the idea, actually.
Just like Y2K. Yeah. Right. You two are idiots. unfortunately, this movie isn't very good. It is all over the place. Like, it is shot well. There are some directorial decisions that I didn't agree with. Especially where it came to the violence. Like, he showed the guy shooting quite a few people and didn't really obfuscate any of it. Like, you saw him actually shoot the people and you saw their reactions, which felt unnecessary, but I understand the point he was trying to put across, and that was fine. I'm sure some people won't have the same reaction I did. As I've gotten older, my tolerance for real life, like cartoon violence, sure, I'm all on board for that nonsense. But anything that feels like real world violence, I'm becoming more and more skittish about, and I don't really want to see it. So this movie did that. The problem is, this movie starts and ends in a different place. And I see what he was trying to, like, it started with the shooter, the perspective of the shooter and his manifesto and him being angry. And then it ended with a survivor of the massacre and her being optimistic. But in the middle, there was just this mishmash and things were all over the place and there was no solid through line. And it felt messy. There was, like, a guy that, towards the end of the movie, like, he, even though he was a survivor, he then went and killed himself. But they didn't spend enough time. They didn't, like, explain enough of, like, what happened with him. Like, you can work it out, but they don't spell it out, which is weird because that is what they did with the shooter and this one survivor lady. Like, it just didn't come together well. So, like, I wouldn't recommend anybody see this. This movie is I'd give it a 1 star, but it's not a great, like, it's not, this movie is garbage 1 star, but I don't feel it's okay, so I wouldn't give it a 2 star. So yeah, I don't.
You're stuck in the middle.
I'm not a fan of this. Yeah, if I believed in half stars, which I don't because I'm a man,
No half measures.
No half measures. Yeah. I'd give this a 1.5. But this movie's a 1. Mm. I don't like it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Damon. I don't like this movie either. But I'm actually confused as to why I don't like it. Because this reminds me a lot of another movie that actually you hate.
Yes.
And
very
I
much
think
so.
Andrew might like it.
Andrew loves that movie.
Mm-hmm. Which is Elephant. Which I loved at the time when we watched it. Gus Van Sant and all. But I in no way connected to this movie the way I did with Elephant. And I wonder why, right? Mm-hmm. And two questions kind of pop up to me. One, is it that, do I actually like Elephant? Mm-hmm. And is this just you know, my conscience coming reaching out to me to say, Douglas, you know you didn't like that, right?
Yeah.
Or two, is there something different about this movie that I didn't like it, and why I didn't like it? And there is the only kind of difference that I can see, and this is now me talking years after we watched Elephant and having that kind of the details lost in the annals of time, but the thing I think, the difference I think between Elephant and this was that this one, it intentionally pulled heartstrings. It, as you said, it tried to explain, well, not necessarily explain the shooter's perspective, but it gave you some more insight into the type of crazy that you were dealing with the shooter. It also gave you those, as you said, there were two groups of people, or two people, essentially, two survivors, and to see how it affected them. And there was even this particularly sappy note-writing scene close to the end of the movie.
Felt and,
hopeless. Yeah, it felt forced. It felt like they were really trying hard for me to, again, concept we've spoken about, and I've spoken about how I hate that concept. It felt like it tried to imbue upon us, just let us know exactly how important this thing was, and it absolutely was, right? This is a true story, and it's not even true like some of the movies that I go on about that are true in the sense that that sort of thing happened, but not necessarily this specific event. Right. But this event actually happened. Right. I don't know what it is about me just like catching the eye of the director and saying, "Oh, I see what you want me to do there. I see the emotion you want me to feel. I hate you for it." And you know, but I think that might actually be a part of it, but definitely not all of it, because from almost day one or second one, I wasn't engaged. Actually, I remember that halfway through the movie, I had to pause it, and I was actually relieved because I paused it, and you know, in Kodi, it tells you where you are and how much time's left, and I assumed, you know, I had a good hour and a half left over, and this thing was telling me, "Oh yeah, you've got like 20 minutes." And I was over the moon. But also, it just goes to show that, you know, I keep talking about a movie being able to kind of grab you by the shirt collar and just pull you along with it for the ride, and this movie didn't do that. It really didn't. You felt like, it felt like work the whole time. It felt like, it felt like homework. It felt like, you know what?
Honestly,
I need to talk about this movie, so I have to understand things.
That is as sad, but surprisingly accurate feeling. Like, I'm just watching this because I have to watch this, aren't I?
Yeah.
Sure, you should pick better movies.
Yeah, I think we all should do that. But over to Andrew, because I don't really have much good to say about this guy. Hopefully Andrew has something he can, you know.
He turned into a good director.
So this is a masterpiece. Uh-huh. It's the greatest. No, it's not. I have to say I agree with you guys for the most part. This movie, so that means we're all wrong together.
No.
Right? This movie is...
Tom Pupper.
It's one of those movies where you kind of watch it and you're like, I don't know what to do with that. Like, it was there, it started, it finished, and beyond the fact-based information you can glean from it, the rest of it, you're kind of like, yeah. I agree with you, Damien, that the movie felt really messy. There were times where I wasn't completely certain whose perspective I was taking... point with. Watching the shooter go around and murder people, there are times where what the shots are doing are you just see him take a pose and there's a gunshot, but you don't see the effect of it.
Right.
And those are fine.
Mm-hmm.
The ones where you see, like, and there are also shots where you hear a gunshot and you see the effect of it, but you don't see him, and those are fine. Because it gives you the emotion of the chaos of what would have happened at that point, right? But the scenes of him where you see it all in one frame are the ones which actually hit you as the most disturbing. And I think what also might be part of it too is that this movie, unlike any other one that we can pick like it, whether it's a true story or not, this movie, when it begins with his manifesto, and you hear his manifesto, I think it's the first time I've heard one where it is of that ilk, where it's like, I hate women, right? And there's something about it, like, the minute that I hear it, there's a part of my brain that goes, he's so fucking dumb,
right?
And I just want him punched in the face, like, as those words were said, right?
Is that, like, if someone had shot him, would he have felt better? Someone did the thing that we wanted to happen.
And when you see it so directed, like, I mean, there are a lot of other movies. I mean, we can talk about slavery films where the hatred is directed in a specific manner, as opposed to...
to a specific color.
As opposed to, like, any comic book movie where the hatred is just blanket,
right? It's just broad.
It's just like whoever's in view, we're going to get them.
I hate Batman,
And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's that, and don't want to say this term, but like, slavery is gone and done, right? And
yeah,
at least that,
no, you're right,
right.
The version that they're depicted in movies
is gone
for the most part.
I mean, I did watch the Ava DuVernay documentary that everyone's talking about, the 13th, talking about how it got pushed into a prison system. But let me not go there. That version of what was going on then is gone, right? So what I'm watching is something that was horrible, is done, and we shouldn't forget it. This, however, is something that I don't think I've fully come to terms with of it existing in this manner. Right? The idea of someone deciding to hate a gender for, I can't even imagine the reason. Right? Because he talks about some shit about feminists ruining his life. Right? And like, when you hear that sentence out loud, there's a part of your brain, I hope, listening to this, that goes, that's dumb. Like, beyond stupid. Right? The way that...
he is...
And
the line of reasoning is...
And the fact that I couldn't even let that go to then see the rest of what was going... Like...
I'm just like... Yeah, like, I really feel if they had... And, I mean... I don't like to invoke this movie because it's terrible. But if they'd done something more along the lines of Crash, like where they took the viewpoints from a lot of other people, and then the event would be the shooting.
Yeah.
So, and they didn't show him, like, as is, like, that view of him shooting. Like, just all of the viewpoint would have just been people cowering and hearing the gunshots and seeing the carnage, but not actually directly being face to face, or them.
Did you end up watching Tower?
No.
No. Whatever. But yeah,
I want, like, I God
very distracted of watching TV shows.
Watching what looks like bad TV shows.
Watching, yeah. One definitely bad, one I think that is amazing, and sports. Have to watch football.
So yeah, I don't like this movie.
No, I don't. I don't think it's very good.
It's well, whatever.
So Tom approve.
We approve its badness.
So it's Prisoners. Sicario with a bullet, like that one is number one. And I haven't seen Arrival again yet. I need to rectify that with the quickness. And what was the other one?
There's Enemy.
No.
Prisoner. Oh, you said Prisoners already.
Right, that's yeah. That one. Alright, sorry. So, Unsound is number one with a bullet.
Really? You like Unsound is more than Sicario?
Oh, it's so much.
That's surprising.
Because that movie is tremendous. Yeah, it is so...
Like, I just imagine the moment there are more guns in a movie, you like that one.
Like, it is... Like, the story that is being told is so awful. And the journey that the brother and sister go through to find out all of that information is such a long and harrowing journey. Like, when you get to the end of the movie, everything about you feels bad. All of this movie is awful. Everything about
I think Arrival might be my favorite film.
No way. Arrival is cartoonish.
No, definitely not. It's somewhere between an Enemy and Sicario.
Insidious, I think that's how you pronounce it, right? Insidious. Right. And then Sicario. And then flip a coin between Arrivals and Prisoners. And the Enemy. I cannot put Enemy in the top three anymore because I saw it again.
So moving on.
Mm-hmm. You watch a Lars von Trier movie?
No, I didn't. I saw a musical.
Right.
That happened to be filmed by a Danish man whose name I cannot say out loud due to legal issues ongoing.
Why is it that you don't like Lars? Still, I don't.
I love Breaking the Waves.
That you didn't answer the question.
So, okay. Mm-hmm. I saw Dancer in the Dark.
Right. So, you've seen it all.
I've seen it all.
I've seen the dark.
Mm-hmm. And
you still haven't seen this movie?
Yeah, this is one possible? Of those that I haven't seen. I don't know. Don't understand. I don't understand either.
You like the director.
Yep.
And you love the singer.
Yes, I do.
Right, so yeah. This should have been a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. And it won.
And I've seen
Best Picture,
a number of his movies.
Whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
It did? It won Best Picture?
No, I don't know if it... No, it didn't win Best Picture, but the song won.
Oh, no, didn't it... What's the... Cannes? Didn't it come?
Oh, yeah, Cannes. Oh, I thought you were talking about an Oscar.
It was like the grand prize.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah, more than likely. But,
no one could believe that these two could the come Ballon together d'Or. And make... Yeah, right. Yeah, they won the Ballon d'Or. For people who don't understand why that is funny, congratulations.
Alright, Dancer in the Dark. I don't know how I really feel about this movie. Let me explain to you, right?
I want to hear it.
Alright, cool, I'll be quiet.
Douglas, you need to watch this movie. I want to
yeah,
hear
I know I do.
I don't want I to hear him ramble on as to why he kind of sort of doesn't like a musical. A musical? Like, this is a layup. This is an absolute... it is not your typical musical because it is a depressing movie. And I get it. I get that you cannot separate singing and happiness with a story about a lady slowly losing her sight and making shittier and shittier decisions because of it. But this it is a Lars. Like, what did you expect him to make it? I don't understand. What do you want from him?
Am I allowed to answer that question?
What more do you need?
Am I allowed to? Tell me when the questions are rhetorical.
If you answer correctly, they are.
I want nothing more from him. He is perfect, right? In every way, right?
No, I want more from. I want him to make more movies. Lars, don't listen to him.
is a traitor to the cause. I don't know what cause.
All right, so this movie. I'm going to talk about this movie.
Can I step outside?
You can put on your headphones.
I don't think that's not how headphones work.
So, I like a lot about this movie. I think this was during his Dogma 95 stage of, like, using weird video cameras instead of film, because everything seems super blown out a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Every musical scene in this I love, pretty much, except the last one, because that's almost not a musical scene. And I think that's intentional.
The last one is when she's counting?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that's almost intentional, because you hear her talk about it at the beginning, about how she doesn't like finales.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and she would just leave, like, a song early. And, like, the song before that is great. Right. And I think that's intentional, that they kind of go with, this is not really a song, but we have to call this the finale so that the other one is great. But this was the kind of movie that, as I was watching it and as I was going through it, the bad decisions is what got to me, right? Every once in a while, there are people who throw up their arms at a movie and go, look, I can't connect with this person making this dumbass decision. And that's where I really took issue with this movie. Because, and I mean, you could tell that she was being taken advantage of.
Right.
That she didn't fully understand what implications it really meant for her to do this thing, right? Even when someone is telling her, look, we can fix this. And she's like, no, it needs to be done this way because this is the most important part, and I can't tell because of this. And it was troubling, right? The rest of the movie is all to be expected, right? Lars von Trier thinks it's cute to make a musical and make it depressing, so fuck him, right? Because musicals shouldn't be depressing.
Thank you, Lars.
Right? The closest I've come to this is All That Jazz, and I don't think... Because that movie is literally about the guy dying, right? Just working himself to death and then dying.
Yes.
And it ends with a big song about him singing Bye Bye Life, right? Which is all wonderful and glorious and musical.
And it is still more fun and uplifting
than this, right? Bjork, like, I couldn't have told you that she wasn't an actress, a professional actress.
Yeah.
But yeah, it still doesn't beat Breaking the Waves.
That wasn't my aim.
I understand this, but I'm telling you.
That's how
I'm going to decide on Lars von Trier movies. He has a bar he has to beat. And I think the one you guys are waiting for me to knock off is Dogville, to see if that one will...
It is better than Breaking the Waves.
I actually think a lot of Lars' movies are better than Breaking the Waves. Because for me, Breaking the Waves is great, right? Mm-hmm. But it's retroactively great. As I'm watching the movie, I'm thinking, it's alright, it's okay. And then the end comes up, and I say, you know what?
You go.
This is the best movie ever. Right. So
it's like a great stand-up set, where for the whole of it, you're like, this is okay. And then at the end, they come with the best finale that you can think of. That makes everything that you thought was okay.
Just one callback for the entire set. One perfect joke. Antichrist came out of nowhere and it's so spectacular.
Yeah.
I cannot see past Antichrist.
And the thing about it too was that was the first movie I ever watched of his, and I didn't even know who he was. That movie made me want to love him, to watch more of his movies. So that, you know, it's always hard to beat your first love in a sense. So the first album you listen to from a band that you like, or the first movie you watch from it, it's always hard to beat that, and he hasn't for me.
Dogville.
But he's come real close.
Dogville technically is probably the most impressive movie I've ever seen.
Ever made.
Because there's no set. Like, anywhere. And by the end of the movie, and it is a long movie, it doesn't feel long. And by the end of the movie, even though your brain, your eyes don't see the walls, but your brain makes up for it. Like, you know that even though you can see the person outside, and the person outside can see, because there's no wall built, you believe that the person outside can't, and you're like, how is this happening? this has to be impossible. But like, Melon, like all of his movies aren't just, with the exception of the ones that aren't his movies, like that comedy that doesn't exist. But even like, as much as Nymphomaniac was a disappointment,
it's still a good movie.
It's still far superior than a lot of the garbage that I watch. And Dancer in the Dark is still the biggest surprise for me because, boy, I don't like musicals. And I love every inch of this movie. Like, the fact that he was able, because there's still, like, the song that this, that, the iconic song from this movie is I've Seen It All. And if you just watch the video, like, if you ever watch a video of the music, it just seems like a standard musical. But the song that she sings might be the most depressing song that any human has ever sung.
I actually thought, listening to most of the songs, that if you heard them out of this movie, you could think it's a regular Bjork album.
Yeah.
Right? Because I loved how all of the songs, the music, you'd hear it cue up where it's just, it's just sound from wherever she is at the time.
It's just sounds from, like, the surroundings or the sets. Like, there's, like, a steam press.
And they turn it into a rhythm, and then that's where she goes off of.
It is, like the decisions that she makes, they're bad decisions. They're really dumb decisions. And I understand that that is a knock against the movie, but the rest of the movie is so good that you kind of, like, even though I know what Andrew says is accurate, it still doesn't factor into my love of the movie. It's basically like saying The Fast and the Furious is bad because the physics don't make any sense. That's basically what I'm hearing. Like, you're right, the physics don't make any sense. But what are you talking about?
But Damien, I think what you're really trying to tell us is how deeply you love musicals.
Yeah. Deep. If Bjork and Lars continues to make musicals, then I will be a giant fan of music. I understand that this is not your typical musical. Like, it says Lars at the top. And for him to, like, because I came to this movie after falling in love with Lars. So just the thought of him making a musical seems so nonsensical. And then he's like, how about Bjork? Bjork can't act. Let's be serious. But listen, like, even Andrew, like, when you watch a movie, you're like, I don't know how he's doing this. She seems like an actress. The songs are built with the surrounding set, so whoever is mixing the music together clearly is some kind of super genius. And she wrote the songs, all the songs are on. Like, she has a song where she counts to 20. That is the song. And I don't mean, like, there's other words in between. She's just counting.
Yeah, 20. I've listened to Bjork music, that doesn't surprise me.
Right, but her music doesn't fit in a normal movie.
No, it does not. It doesn't fit in a normal world.
And yet it fits in
also
almost too perfectly with this movie.
Like, to give him a mention, good on him for getting the Cabaret Master of Ceremonies to appear in this movie.
Oh, really? Wow.
The guy who plays the pretend father of her who appears in court.
Right.
He was the Master of Ceremonies in the 70s musical Cabaret.
Oh.
But
yeah, clearly he got, like, people from other music. Like, he got actual musical. Because there's, like, choreographed dances. And
it was really weird hearing Peter Stormare in a song.
Yes. He and Ryan Gosling are from the same school of singing.
Okay.
I can't sing.
For a second there, I thought you were telling me that Ryan Gosling was in this movie. That would be impressive. And then my mind was about to explode.
That would have been impressive. You'd have been like, what? Nine? I'm glad that you saw it. Now you can add that
to it. It's Matt Ryan the musical.
Yeah. Although, I think Seth Meyers said that Adele performed for the Falcons after the game, and that was a pretty spot on joke. That's a dick move. I know about football now. Still had to... What was the thing that...
confused me?
No, right, that we're talking about during the NFL. Right, safe what? Catches, right?
Oh, yeah, fair catches,
right. Yeah. I'm like, they have said that phrase 10,000 times and never, not ever, did one of them go, hey guys, here's what a fair catch is.
I thought you were going to go with offensive passing interference.
Yeah. Nah, I know that one is beyond me. Maybe in a couple seasons when I'm a proper NFL fan.
You're wearing the jerseys.
When I bought a Seahawks jersey just to light it on fire. When I'm there. Then I will understand. But I know. Like, I heard you two talking and I just shut off that part. Just watch you two mouths move and just hear Yagini Snacks. I don't want to hear anything from you two. It's a confusing sport. Like, really, like, a lot.
It's very
there technical. Are a lot of rules.
Yeah.
I think they could do without a lot of them. I would enjoy the sport more.
You think about that. You say that, and then you realize... Exactly. You realize that because of those rules, you get things like the tippy-toe. And if, you know, if those rules never exist, you wouldn't have crazy just shenanigans like that.
I would gladly give up tippy-toe catches for the game to be easier, to be more easily understood by newcomers. Now I understand that they have accepted that there's no more newcomers. Fathers teach sons about football so that common Jesus don't have to.
I don't remember which year it was, but they had revised the definition of a fumble versus incomplete pass when it comes to defenders attacking the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's actually going back and they're like grabbing the ball, they're like tipping the ball out of his hand. And they had to decide on the fact that if the ball is heading backwards, if you're still pumping backwards and it happens at that point, it's a fumble.
But once you're in a forward throwing motion,
they had to define that clearly at some point.
Jesus Christ.
Because there was complaints.
And there's just flags for literally everything, and
too many pumps.
They call it sometimes, and then they don't call it sometimes, which makes it even more confusing. No, that's sport.
There's a false start. There's an encroachment.
There's so much shit.
Yeah.
Just so much.
Just this is how NFL watching works. Let me explain to you the process of watching NFL.
But the game is still so exciting. What if they just stripped away? No. Let's say 50% of that bullshit. So that I could enjoy the
this
game.
This is how watching NFL works. You're watching a game and you've decided on a team that you want to win the game.
Right.
Or maybe you have that decision beforehand. They're making a play. A penalty has occurred. A flag has gone up. The referee says, wop, 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 wop. Your team back 5 yards.
Right.
And that's when you throw something at your television.
Right. It's that jump kicking shit. Right. I mean, people screaming at the referees, except in my, because I don't know if I'm supposed to be screaming at the referees. Did they get it right? Is it wrong?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's great.
The only other thing I could talk about that is relevant to this podcast is the fact that I really did enjoy Hidden Figures. I know you...
I didn't really like it that much.
I watched,
you watched it?
Yeah, I went and I watched it.
Oh.
He said so.
I didn't know that.
This is like the third time he said
it. I clearly blacked that out.
Clear enough. It was impressive watching it in a theater filled with women. Because there's a lot of cheering. That is the most cheering I've heard.
I heard a good amount of cheering when I watched
for
that movie.
A good long time. Like, packed theater, which was also
Mine was not packed. Mine was like... And it was almost as packed as La La Land. But I went on a weekday at 5
almost,
o'clock.
Almost as packed as the two people
who were in La La Land. Yeah, the three people in La La Land. Full house and, like, standing ovation at the end of the movie. like a lot of, like if ever Carrie was going to do something to actually improve their shitty viewing, like applause breaks would have been big help in this movie, because there were sections that you just didn't hear what was happening because entire place was applauding. But Carib showed the movie in Inimascope, which annoyed me. No one else seemed to give any ifs, which annoyed me even further. But yeah, even with that, still enjoyed the movie a good amount, and I'll be getting, pretty sure that movie is going to be 100,000 on the box. I enjoyed
it. The thing with that movie for me was it felt like a run of the mill one of these drama movies, mm-hmm, where people are overcoming things, but you can see where it's almost telegraphed in every scene, mm-hmm, as to where the solution is coming from to every problem that occurs. There are scenes where you can see people are teeing up for exposition, mm-hmm, right? Where like like all of those things,
it's just based on a true story at the start.
No,
you saw a lot of this. Yeah. Guys, listen, I know this is a movie, so I have to write around some of the gaps, but you guys are making this a little bit too obvious.
So the things I want to say I actually liked about this movie, I didn't know it could be possible, but I love Janelle Monáe in this movie.
That is true.
Like I don't think I've seen her in a movie before this yet. I know she's in a few now.
Oh yeah,
I think she's in a couple other movies that came out.
I just know her as the teeny tiny singing and dancing machine.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And boy, she's a machine. Have you seen her perform?
I've seen some perform. Yeah,
she does some crazy backflips, and
she's very active.
Yeah.
I liked when people were running, and I like that only because Pharrell songs were playing. And also, like, of all of the movies, and this is the thing Douglas says the most, of all of the movies like this, where they like to say this movie is important because of this thing, mm-hmm, that we don't see, I feel this movie might be the most of all of those. Because legitimately, who knew any of this?
No one.
Right? We know that history likes to pave over things no one wants to talk, mm-hmm, about.
And they did a lot of paving with, right, this topic in general.
Right. But, like, I didn't know, like, no clue whatsoever. Like, there's so many other things where we're like, yeah, we know that that happened, but maybe we don't know their names. Right?
How good a job they did with this. I didn't realize that women worked at NASA, like, period.
You mean as in right now?
No.
Or back then. Okay, then. Cool. All right.
It was until there's this lady who, she lost the Nobel Prize for basically coming up with dark matter.
She lost the Nobel Prize?
Was she should have won.
Was she on, like,
yeah, she was on a boat. No. She was on the Titanic and it fell into the ocean. She lost it at a bet.
Did the rest of her relay team have, right, to give back their, right, prize as well?
Right. She was tested positive for Amzos. It was thrown out of the side. So it was about 5 years ago that it happened, and that is when, because I had not even heard of women at NASA before that point. I didn't even know that was a thing. I assumed, as women got rights later on. And so when I found out that when Obama gave the lady the medal, and I'm like, wait a second. Even, like, I didn't know, like, even though they said, yeah, women work at NASA, not even in my wildest dreams would I have thought, of course black women would also work at NASA. I just went, no, racism. They would have been allowed to work. And, right? They weren't allowed to go to proper colleges. What the fuck would they get into NASA? It's basically what. And every video from that time, there's no black people anywhere, right, near there. So they did an astounding job.
You know, it's another thing that I, you know, the thing that really got to me about that movie, they refer to them as computers. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've ever heard anyone be referred to as a computer. Yep. Like, I've heard people called, like, analysts or data miners.
As in one who computes.
Right. Yeah, the people were computers.
that's weird. Yeah.
I enjoy seeing that the mock-up of the IBM machine and just how massive it was. And they're like,
it was bigger
it
than
does
that.
Yeah, way bigger. They're like, it does 42,000 calculations per minute or something.
And they're all like, we're screwed.
And like, we're all fired, aren't we? I'm like, can't look at, like, that is the part of the space program that actually fascinated me. Not them actually getting someone up there. Just looking back at the, let's call it technology, that they used to, like, I have more technology in literally any device that is in my house than they had. And they put a man on the moon.
And what have you done?
Right. I play video games. I take all the computing horsepower that one man is allowed to have. And I use it to make Novigrad a little bit prettier. The Witcher's sword. Move 55 frames instead of 54 frames. That is what I use all of the horsepower to do. And they took basically a calculator and put a man.
I want my cowboy character to have a gold gun, and it's taken me a long time to be able to buy that gold gun in Overwatch.
Mm-hmm. All this tech, and everybody is, but I fundamentally disagree with a space program. Like, in principle, cannot make any sense. Because you're spending a lot of money to get into space. And we know what's up there. That's why we call it space. There's nothing there. Problems on Earth. It's just a money. Like, once we fix all of the shit that we have on Earth, then feel free. All the space not going anywhere. Fix the shit here, and then let's go into space. But spending all of that money,
I don't understand. We don't have problems on Earth.
No.
I'm sitting down here in my comfortable chair.
I don't have problems
in my air conditioned place. I mean, I don't.
And since there's only 3 people on the planet,
did I make it?
Then we're fine.
Did I make the cut?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sweet.
We're all going to die because it's 3 men.
Yeah,
of course it was going to end like
science.
Of course,
I'm sure we can figure out the science.
I don't want any of your science. Keep your science to yourself. That's science that got us in this problem. In the first place.
Essentially, you lick a toad,
mm-hmm.
and then the DNA, you know, mm-hmm. messes with yours. And,
right?
Yeah,
and it's that's like how babies Jurassic are. That's how babies are born.
Jurassic Park.
Right.
Just use frogs.
Why not?
Or, well, maybe you just have sex with the frog. I don't get it, but it, there's frogs and there's sex, and then there's babies. That's what Jurassic Park
That sounds about cool. As yeah. I mean, as a Scientologist, that's
sounds about right.
What is this podcast about?
It's about Douglas laughing.
It's about freedom, justice, and
right, and the American way.
We don't believe you, cause we the people are still here in the rear, yo, we don't need you. You ain't a killing off good young nigga move. When we get hungry, we eat the same fucking food, the ramen noodle. This simple voodoo is so maniacal, reliable to pull a juju. The irony is that this bad bitch in my lap, she don't tell me she make money, she don't study that. She gon' give it to me, ain't gon' tell me nothing back. She gon' take the brain away the place she sit on that. The doors and signs with it, don't try to rhyme with it.